Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, baby!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Mark Richt would like Drew Butler to hit it a mile in the air. And he did. What a kick.
And the SEC's career leader in touchdown passes and completions, Aaron Murray.
Touchdown in stride as he crosses the goal line. Put it right on his hip. What a throw.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Get to the house, sideline, pylon. Touchdown, and the Dogs are on the board first.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. For your next mistake, I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Welcome into the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, back at you with another episode of the Punt and Pass Pandemic Podcast. That's right, another episode of the Quarantine Chronicles. Hope everybody is staying safe, staying healthy, and had a great week. Be sure to follow the show at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram, and follow me at Drew Butler. Have another awesome guest for all of us today. We're venturing in to the world of baseball. Baseball obviously was right in the swing of spring training. Opening weekend was supposed to be a week and a half ago, and the quarantine, the self-isolation, the coronavirus pandemic put it on halt. So spring training, obviously half the teams are in Florida, the Grapefruit League, the other half are in Arizona in the Cactus League, and we're heading out to Arizona. We're talking to Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher and former Georgia Bulldog Alex Wood today. Alex is out in Arizona still. He's staying ready. He's training, waiting for the green light. What are we going to talk to him about? Well, first off, how is spring training going? What is he hearing? What are the other players doing? If they do get the green light, will he be back in play? And then we'll touch on some baseball stuff, and obviously we have to discuss some Georgia football too. Follow Alex on Twitter and Instagram. He is at awood45, a buddy of mine, a damn good dog. It's going to be a great discussion. A little bit of news today, though. Man, this coronavirus thing is just absolutely crazy. The XFL, where my buddy and co-host Aaron Murray was playing for the Tampa Bay Vipers, they have suspended operations indefinitely. Indefinitely. Laid off staff, said that the 2021 return, as they had said, was going to happen because they were catching momentum, will not happen. So really just crazy. I think they got 6 weeks in. Obviously, things would be different if it wasn't for the shutdown, the pandemic, but RIP to the XFL. Man, I did not expect that to happen, but nobody is safe. No business, especially, is safe amid this shutdown. The economy, obviously, is what it is. Most importantly, though, everybody just needs to remain safe, stay indoors when you can, and remain healthy, and remain positive. That's what we do here on the Punt and Pass Quarantine Chronicles. We've said it. I told you on Monday, it is possible to remain optimistic about the future while still completely understanding the severity of the situation at hand. And one person who's stuck in the situation is our guest. That's Alex Wood. Again, you probably remember him. He played for the Atlanta Braves. He went to the Los Angeles Dodgers, was an all-star, then went to the Cincinnati Reds. Now he's back with the Los Angeles Dodgers, a great Georgia Bulldog. Let's check in with him, see what's going on with the quarantine lifestyle out in the Arizona desert. Here he is, our guest, Alex Wood. All right, let's do it. We will bring in our special guest now on this episode of the Quarantine Chronicles, the Punt and Pass Pandemic Podcast, and it's our first venture into the world of Major League Baseball. We are now joined by Alex Wood, pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Of course, a damn good dog. He did play baseball at the University of Georgia. He also played for the Atlanta Braves and the Cincinnati Reds. He's back with the Dodgers, where he was an all-star in 2017. Be sure to follow him on Twitter and Instagram at awood45. Alex, my man, it's so great to talk to you. I have had the pleasure of watching you in person a couple of times when I lived out in Arizona, which is where you are now. I watched you take down the Diamondbacks when you were playing with the Braves. Really fun to follow your career, my man. You're back with the Dodgers, where you've had so much success, feeling really good about spring training, getting ready for opening weekend, and boom, the sports world has stopped. So how are you doing? How was spring training going, first of all?
Yeah, spring training was great, man. You know, I had a
down. You know, last year I was hurt for most of the season and did a lot of stuff, made some changes in the offseason. I came to camp feeling great. I was throwing really well. And then the pandemic hit. So that was unfortunate. But it was good to be back with a lot of my close friends in L.A. And we were having a good camp and we're excited for season. And now we're just biding our time, you know, trying to stay ready. It's a little bit harder when you're a pitcher because, yeah, I mean, they could flip the switch in any second. So we kind of got to keep throwing and stay semi-ready for whenever the call comes. So it's a little bit of a different situation than you would say for other sports, even other guys in baseball. You know, the hitters, you know, they can swing some or not swing at all and come in and have 2 weeks and be ready. It doesn't quite work that way for pitchers, but we're managing.
Yeah, because that's interesting you bring that up. Obviously, pitchers and catchers report to spring training first 2 weeks or a week and a half before the rest of the guys. You know, whenever they do lift the cloud, give you guys the go-ahead, would it take some extra time? Would there have to be that acclimation period again for catchers and pitchers, or are you guys just expected to be ready to pick up where you left off?
My guess is that whenever we start, you know, I think we have a realistic start date, you know, is looking like mid-June to July 1st, realistically probably what they're shooting for. To play 100 to 120 games. And, you know, I'm guessing they'll give us 2 weeks before the start date, you know, to kind of get ready and build up. So just having a plan to be as built up as possible in whatever manner that may be for when once season starts. And I'm assuming they'll probably expand rosters to 28 or 30 players and allow you to have a couple extra pitchers, you know, for the first month, you know, to kind of have a few extra arms why guys truly get built up to where they should be and then kind of go from there.
Yeah, it's just totally interesting. I mean, the more we talk about it, regardless of what sport, the more you understand how big it is than just the guys who are at spring training. I mean, you're talking about what did AAA baseball do, AA baseball, like what does single A do? It's just absolutely crazy to think about. Obviously, the majors is most important, though, from a revenue standpoint. When were the players beginning to understand the risks from the growing coronavirus spread? I mean, was there rumblings in the bullpen or in the locker room clubhouse before the stop of the season happened? Were you guys even aware of it, or were you just so locked in on spring training?
No, I mean, there was obviously talks about it, you know, and I think that, I mean, you look back four, five, six weeks ago, and I mean, nobody really got it right, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it was 50-50, you know, half the country, half the so-called experts or saying it's control, it's not a huge deal, you know, it won't be a long-term shutdown, whatever, and half of more like panic in the streets, you know. And so obviously the latter part of what I just said is kind of came to fruition. And so we knew that some things could go down. Obviously, you know, shutting down the whole country and the whole world, basically. I mean, just it still doesn't seem real. It seems like a kind of like a bad dream. And so we knew that there was some things that could happen, or maybe we're delayed 2 or 3 weeks. But now to sit here and think about going another two and a half months before we really play meaningful baseball is pretty crazy.
Yeah, there's worse places to be stuck than Phoenix, Arizona. That's a fact, especially this time of the year. It's absolutely one of the best places to be. We talked to a professional sports physician yesterday, Dr. Destin Hill. He's actually in Arizona. He works with the Arizona Diamondbacks and a lot of other teams there in the Cactus League. And he brought up a really interesting point. He said that he thinks Major League Baseball may be best positioned to return first of the big sports leagues, because what he's hearing is that most of the guys, like yourself, Alex, have kind of stayed put either in Arizona or Florida, getting training, staying ready for whenever the green light is given. Do you agree with that? Have most guys stayed where spring training ended?
I don't know about, I mean, I would say it's a total mixed bag. I think it's probably a heavy split between three options. Guys that decided to go back home, the guys that have houses in the off season. You know, I'd say a decent chunk of guys, a third of guys probably stayed in spring training area, and then a third of them probably went to, you know, the home club city, depending on where that was at. I think we're probably best positioned to be the first club back because, I mean, you look at the NBA. The NBA has already had a string of guys diagnosed with the coronavirus, right? So I mean, logistically, what they would have to overcome to feel comfortable and confident playing is a lot more than what we're dealing with right now. And, you know, and by the time we decide we see fit that it's comfortable to go and play, you know, hopefully there's access. Testing is the biggest part. And
yeah.
So by the time we start to play, you know, I'm sure that they'll have their hands on a good number of tests, hopefully at that point. And they'll have protocols set up to where if someone was to officially come down with the coronavirus, they'd have quarantine stuff in place to where they would be able to get them away from the team as quickly as possible and also continue playing baseball.
Yeah, we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel as far as the sports hiatus. A couple of tentative schedules have been rolled out. The PGA Tour and the World of Golf kind of started it this week on Monday. Obviously, everybody's missing the Masters, but they said, look, we're going to plan for a midsummer begin to the PGA Tour season, get the majors in on the back end of the fall. The NBA has kind of toyed with this idea of the teams heading to Las Vegas, maybe taking over a couple of casinos, and Major League Baseball said and kind of rolled out this Arizona plan of isolating all of the teams out in Arizona. Obviously, you have a bunch of facilities out there, and half the league is already out there right now. What do you think of the so-called Arizona plan?
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to happen. I mean, it's just logistically, that would just be an absolute nightmare. And then you talk about having to play day games in 120 degree desert heat. I mean,
yeah.
I saw a quote from a player a couple of days ago that said, Arizona in the summer is where things go to die.
Oh my God, you know? Dude, you're not kidding. It's just a brutal, brutal type of heat. Your skin, you can feel it on your skin. And obviously in Georgia, you had the humidity, but you know, out there in AZ, dude, I mean, it is 120 is 120.
Yeah. I mean, it's, then you start talking about the health factors and the health risks, injury risks for guys. You know, when you add that type of heat, you know, and having to expend that type of energy every day, you know, it just, and plus logistically, I mean, to abide by social distancing or whatever it may be, and to keep everyone quarantined for basically an unforeseen amount of time, it just doesn't seem very reasonable. You know, obviously, if you got into a dire situation where this is what we have to do to play baseball, where we don't play literally at all, you know, then it's a conversation. But I think at this point, it's not really very feasible.
Yeah. Have you heard anything other than what we've heard through the limited channels of information that the public has? I mean, as far as like if they were to quarantine separate teams or set you guys up in an isolated situation, have they even asked the players if they would be okay being away from their families? Would the families be allowed? I mean, I don't know if they've even gotten that far as far as discussing
it
with the players.
No, it never got that far. And yeah. It never got that far. And I don't think that it will. I think that realistically that like I said, we're shooting for 100 to 120 game season starting mid June to July 1st at the latest. You know, and if that happens, you know, I think everybody would have a chance to be happy. You know, I think if you start then, you probably aren't seeing fans in parks at that point. But you would hope that as you continue to, you know, head into August and maybe September, that you'd have a lot more clarity on what's going on in the world and the situation with the virus, and to where you could start opening parks back up. Because, I mean, you have to, the thing that's crazy too, is you have to think that at some point, people are going to, I mean, you know, you're gonna have to start making a choice, you know, and
yeah.
stay inside or go to work, you know, and then you add the fact on top of that, the stir craziness that people are going to start having, you know, from just having to stay inside for so long, you know, people crave entertainment. And I mean, we're a professional sport, but in the day we're entertainers. And so, you know, the sooner you can get really any sport back on television, for the entertainment of, you know, the public, you know, it's going to be good for everybody, you know?
No, I totally agree. What are your thoughts on a shortened season? Because obviously a lot of things are going to adapt when we do get back to normal, however that looks. You know, everybody's already talking about, are we ever going to shake hands again? Stuff like that. If Major League Baseball does have a shortened season of 120 or so games, and there's really good response to that later on from like a fan perspective or a viewership perspective, I mean, are you cool with that? What would the players say to that?
Yeah, I mean, 162 games is a,
God,
is a lot.
So
of games,
many, dude. It's just absolutely, I mean, unbelievable. It's just,
you know, it's like totally the opposite of like an NFL season. You know, they're once a week, and it's a high impact, high stress on your body, like acute type beat down as comparison to where it's like you're just getting chipped away at over 162 games, you know, physically. And so, you know, you have different things that pop up. But I mean, it's a long season, no doubt. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a business. And so, I mean, it ends up coming down to money. You know, the players would be on board for a shorter season. But, you know, with a shorter season, you know, naturally from the owners and from baseball comes, does that cut into our revenues? You know, and if it does, then, you know, it's really a non-starter for both sides, you know. So if there was something that could be worked out, you know, financially, where, you know, you kind of kept the same setup that, you know, you currently have, and were able to basically make up the money from however many games the league would decide to cut off, you know, I think that things work out. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I'm playing a kid's game and playing a sport I love to play, but, you know, the teams in the league remind you real quick that it's a business. And so, you know, it's something that's been talked about, you know, a little bit over the last couple of years. And so I could foresee it. I wouldn't see it ever cutting down to like 120 games, but they could cut 10, 15 games off the schedule, and make something work, I'd imagine, if that was something they decided they would want to do to the league.
Yeah, no question. I mean, the best thing about being a Major League Baseball player is being a part of the Major League Baseball Players Association. You guys have one of the best unions in pro sports. So if it were to come to that, I'm sure you guys would be in a good position from a bargaining standpoint. And then from the position of when they give you guys the green light or when they say, hey, it's time to make a decision, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, obviously, there's not going to be a vaccine. We've talked to a lot of people about this. You know, you're healthy, you're a young guy, and I think everybody loves to play the sport that they're playing for a living. You know, would you give it a go if you're given the green light?
Oh, yeah. I mean, as soon as they allow us to gather, start some training and play, I mean, I don't really foresee a single person, you know, holding out. Obviously you still have to take precautions and measures early on, but I mean, as soon as they give us the green light, I think everybody's going to be ready to rock.
I think so too. You know, and as a former athlete, and I want to ask you this from a college perspective, you know, obviously you went to Georgia, you played baseball at Georgia, you're a huge Georgia football fan. Those guys don't get paid, you know, and I think that might get a spotlight put on it. You're going to put your health in line. Obviously, you already do because you play the sport, but you're not getting paid. You're not getting compensated, so to speak, for putting your health in line amid a pandemic. It obviously won't be a pandemic at the point where everything gets back to normal, but wouldn't you think that the college athletes would do the same thing? Like, these guys want to play ball. Whatever sport you're playing, they're ready to go. They've been training for this. What are your thoughts on a college athlete getting the green light?
You talking about when it comes to football season?
I mean, really anything. Well, obviously, we're not having baseball this spring, but yeah, if football, if they get fall sports to go, I would think that everybody's going to be all hands on deck.
I mean, yeah, if they get the green light, I mean it's going to be, if there's not, if things aren't cleared up by the start of September, for college football season or the NFL, I mean, but really college football, I mean, things are going to be, I don't even want to think about what that would do to so many college towns, and so many programs, you know, that basically support their entire athletic program off of football season, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you think about Athens as well, specifically too.
I mean, it'll ruin towns, you know? And so, at the end of the day, I mean, I've been pretty vocal, you know, about, you know, college players' rights, and it's just an absolute joke what the NCAA does, especially to college football players. But you're telling me that if they're allowed to play and players and college football players saying, I don't want to play because of the virus, yeah, that's where do you think that guy will probably end up? Either in the transfer portal or off the team, you know what I mean? So, you know, if they can play, they're going to play. And so it's just a matter of politics, essentially, you know, if it's politically correct to be able to open season up and feel comfortable doing it, and, you know, then how many fans will show up at that point. You'd hope things will be cleared up enough by then to where it'll be an afterthought, but we'll see.
You're making a lot of sense. I mean, you pretty much had the same exact thought process as I do. And it's funny to see these college football coaches getting restless and kind of spewing at the mouth when they have a chance to. Mike Gundy earlier in the week, Dabo Swinney as well. I mean, they want to play football. They're ready to rock and roll. If they get the green light, they're going to play. That's what they are. They're competitors. So I totally agree with you. Let's transition a little bit more so to baseball. We'll get off the quarantine talk. I got a couple of questions I need to ask you as a pitcher specifically. What's your favorite stadium to pitch in? Obviously, you've been around. You've been extremely successful. What's one place you walk onto the mound and say, man, this feels great. I'm ready to roll.
So I have two. One of them was a little bit of a funny story. So when I was at the Braves, literally probably a week or two before I got traded to the Dodgers, my agent asked me, we went to breakfast, and he asked me where I like to pitch at and where, if I got traded, where I'd want to go. Just total coincidence. And I told him I love throwing in Dodger Stadium, and then I got traded about 10 days later.
That's awesome.
But my favorite away stadium to play at and throw at is San Diego Padres. I love their mound. I love pitching in that stadium. Obviously, you can't beat the weather in the city. It's a good place.
Yeah, that is a beautiful ballpark. I saw the Rolling Stones there in 2015.
Oh, cool.
That was sick. Who's the scariest player to pitch to? I mean, I know you can stare down anybody, but who's one guy where you sit there and go, oh, shit, here we go. I got to buckle up.
That's tough. There's a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine.
The person that owns me the most, I'll say, that gets in the box, so I'm just like, I don't know what I'm going to throw him. It's probably Anthony Rendon. We played a lot against each other when I was at the Braves my first 3 years. And I think if he has 20 total ABs off me, I think he has 15 hits.
Wow.
He crushes me.
And on the flip side of that, who do you love pitching against? Who do you get in the box and just say, here we go, three pitches and this dude's going to be out?
I don't want to jinx anything, so I'll say a guy that I used to do really well against is now retired, Adam LaRoche. I used to do really, really well. I think if I faced him 15 times, I think I've punched him out like 12 times.
That's awesome. No question. That's great. Who's the best pitcher that you've seen? And I got to take Kershaw away from you, and I'm going to take Max Scherzer away also, because Scherzer is just an absolute freak show. Who's the best pitcher that you've gone against? Somebody that you watch the tape, you break down, and you really respect his game?
Oh, man, that's tough. There's also a lot of good ones. You know, I mean, I think one of my favorite arms to watch right now is actually in our rotation, Walker Buehler. His stuff's just electric, man. He just is a top-level competitor. It's really fun to watch him go out there and pitch every fifth day.
You guys have so many studs on the roster in LA. It's really an amazing collection of talent. You're primed for an awesome 2020 season whenever that starts up. Obviously, you're stuck in Arizona. What's your favorite restaurant in AZ? I've got a couple if you need some recommendations, but tell me where you're going out to eat. Where's your daily spot? Like, if you're out and about and you need a quick bite, and then where's the dinner that you're going to go to? Somebody's in town or you want to make it special?
Oh, that's tough. There's so many good places to eat. I would say, so like a good go-to for like lunch is like Takaya Organica.
Okay.
It's a good, healthy bowl spot or burritos. It's really, really, really good. Have you been there?
No, we used to go to Chop Shop all the time. That's where we went for like our bowls and stuff.
Yeah, Chop Shop's good too. We have one right by where we're staying. And then tough for dinner. Another good go-to dinner spot that we've been doing a lot of takeout from is Doughbird. Have you been there?
I believe so. Yes, that's a great spot.
Yeah, awesome. And then I think ultimately, if like my parents come in spring training, we always go to Mastro's City Hall.
Oh, God.
You got to get the butter cake, right?
So good. City Hall, Steak 44. Like, I think Steak 44, it's in my top three steakhouses in America. The Mastro family does it right. That City Hall is just absolutely fantastic, too, though, right there in Scottsdale Quarter. That is...
Hey, I need to... Have you and the wifey, you need to go check out in Atlanta... I'm losing my train of thought. It's
the steakhouse.
There's one in Broad.
Oh, yeah, Little Alley.
Yeah, Little Alley.
I have not been to the one. You know, the one in Buckhead, I think, had a fire. I think the only one open right now is Roswell, right?
They did have a fire, and then there's another. There's a French steakhouse. It's literally one of my favorites ever. It's in Midtown.
Marcel.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Marcel. It's one of my favorite
places. Place is awesome. Place is so good. We went there for my birthday last year. My birthday's coming up. If we can even get out of the damn house, figure out where I'll get some food. But yeah, great, dude. Great recommendations. And yeah, obviously, Arizona, there's so much good food in the Phoenix, Scottsdale area. If we do get football, Alex, Georgia's going to be primed for an awesome season, but I'm so bummed that they did not get spring football practice because obviously everybody wanted to see Jamie Newman, the transfer quarterback. You got Todd Monken, the new offensive coordinator, Matt Loop, the new offensive line coach who used to be the head coach at Ole Miss, and then Scott Cochran, the strength and conditioning coach from Alabama who comes to be the special teams coordinator. How are you feeling about Kirby and the Dogs heading into 2020 if there is football, which I believe there will be?
I feel great about it, man. I mean, it's been a blast. I mean, I love Kirby Smart. I've had an absolute blast, you know, watching what he's done since he's been there so far. Can't wait for them to kind of get over that hump. You know, I've been to the, we went to the SEC championship, lost, and then the national championship. It just tough tickets. But, you know, he's put the program in a great spot. I'm excited about the new offensive coordinator just because, you know, I think last year was a perfect example in college football with LSU that, you know, the days of putting, you know, the best defense on the planet in Division I college football, you know, is just not enough. You know, you really have to, you know, have to build your offense into, you know, a pro offense powerhouse, you know, like those guys are doing. You know, we had one of the greatest defenses, you know, I think, I don't know, you know better than me, one of the best defenses in my life. I mean, in my whole life that I've ever seen Georgia have, and they just ran out of steam, you know, they held off as long as they could. But I mean, when you have a quarterback that can throw it like Joe Burrow and the talent that they had wide receiver, you know, it's just, no matter how good your defense is, it's hard to stop it. So the fact they brought in someone like Monken, you know, has a history of a high-powered offenses like that, you know, it's going to be fun to watch. So I'm excited.
No question. So you were at the SEC championship in December when they played LSU?
No, not that one. So previously,
the Alabama one.
Alabama one, and then watching that Tua throw that pass.
Oh, God. That's so brutal.
I was in the opposite end zone, and I literally saw the pass go up in the air. I looked down to see where the receiver was, and I grabbed my wife's hand, and we just started walking, man. It was tough.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about this past year's defense, so like they were so good, and everybody, you keep hearing about LSU this, LSU that. I went to the game, and I'm like, okay, realistically, probably not a shot, but if anybody's best position to take these guys on, it's Georgia with their defense. You know, Fromm misses that deep throw on the first possession. We punt, and then Burrow and the company just takes it down, a couple plays, touchdown. I sit there, I go, damn, these dudes are for real. Like, you have that feeling, you know, when you walk into a stadium and you think you have a chance, and then you quickly realize that you don't. I think anybody wearing Georgia gear inside the Benz knew quickly LSU was for real. So, hey, we're looking forward to it. You know, Georgia is primed finally. And I think legitimately, Alex, this is what's going to happen this year. It is completely up to the coaches. The roster is chock full of talent. You know, you got Monken, you got Matt Luke. Can these guys put the players in the best position to go out there and succeed? We're all going to find out at the same time. It just sucked that they lost some preparation in the spring, and it's a bummer that we can't get on the websites and check out what's happening with Georgia football. Yeah. But what we will do is certainly keep tabs on baseball when it gets back, what's happening, and obviously everybody's going to watch out for you out there with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So thanks so much for spending some time with us. You and the wifey, stay safe, stay healthy, and keep throwing that ball, man. We look forward to seeing you play soon.
No doubt. Appreciate you having me on.
Great to talk with Alex. Really appreciate his time. Man, that's just crazy to me. I mean, I know I always go back to football, but I can't imagine being in the middle of training camp playing preseason games like they do with their spring training games and then just having everything stop, not having the opening weekend of football like they did not have the opening weekend of baseball, trying to figure out when you're going to start the season. Is it going to be shortened? Will there be fans there? How's it going to look? What's the testing going to be like? A lot of unknowns, but it seems like baseball, like Alex said, like Dr. Destin Hill said, is maybe best positioned to return first. And I can guarantee you that everybody will welcome baseball's return with open arms. We are not taking sports for granted anymore. Can't wait for that. Beautiful spring weekend in Georgia. Hope everybody is staying home and staying safe. Again, a huge thanks to Alex for joining us Follow him on Twitter and Instagram at awood45. Follow the show on Instagram at puntandpass. Keep giving me your recommendations of who I should bring on, because we're going to continue to do these quarantine chronicles as long as we're all locked up inside. Follow me at Drew Butler, and I will see you and talk to you next week. See ya.